Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue pressing on in the life of David, and we are at the second book that we're going to be looking at, 2 Samuel. We just finished 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel continues the account. And beginning with the first chapter, the first verse, it says this: "Now it came about after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, that David remained 2 days in Ziklag." And so we're getting some detail here, and we're not going to get into it right now, but you can go back in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and you can and get a pretty precise timeline of what's flowing through right here, what's happening, and really how quickly all this went down. When you read the word, sometimes it's surprising how quick things happen, and then other times it's surprising how a longer period of time it took for something to happen. We're doing that right now in the Gospel of Mark, for instance. When you read the first 3 or 4 chapters of Mark, it's like immediately. Boy, this stuff's happening. But when you back off and look at it, you realize, wait a minute, this is over an 18-month period of time or so. Okay? It's just that the narrative is being given to us quickly. So David hung out there a couple of days, but on the third day, the second verse says this: "On the third day, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul, with his clothes torn and dust on his head. And it came about when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself." So here he is. He's coming out. He's been with Saul. He's from his camp. He comes before David and he bows down before David. Verse 3. "Then David said to him, 'From where do you come?' And he said to him, 'I have escaped from the camp of Israel.'" So notice how he starts to, even from the very beginning right here, to sort of shape the narrative, shape what's going on. He says that he's escaped from the camp of Israel. Well, in a manner of speaking, that's true. And he's escaped death because most of them got killed. But he's truthful about that. He's escaped from there. Verse 4, "David said to him, 'How did things go? Please tell me.' And he said, 'The people have fled from the battle, and also many of the people have fallen and are dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also.' So David said to the young man who told him, 'How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?' The young man who told him said, 'By chance, I happen to be on Mount Gilboa, and behold, Saul was leaning on his spear, and behold, the chariots and the horsemen pursued him closely.'" Now, anytime somebody starts giving you an answer to a direct question with the phrase, "Well, it just so happened, by chance I happened to be on Mount Gilboa," just by chance I happened to be there. And when we see the balance of the account here in just a moment, we're going to see how fishy this sounds, okay? And he says, "Saul was just leaning on his spear, and the chariots and a horseman pursued him closely." Verse 7, "When he looked behind him, he saw me and called me, and I said, 'Here I am.' And he said to me, 'Who are you?' And I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' Then he said to me, 'Please, stand beside me and kill me, for agony has seized me because my life still lingers in me.'" Verse 10, "So I stood beside him and killed him because I knew that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown which was on his head and the bracelet which was on his arm and have brought them here to my lord." That right there is a major, major hint about something, isn't it? He actually had the bracelet that was on Saul's arm. He actually had the crown with him. So he had evidence that he was there on the Mount Gilboa, that he did see Saul, that Saul was dead. Now, how all this went down is not exactly what we've seen already. Because remember, Saul had asked his bodyguard, his armor bearer, to kill him. And the armor bearer refused to do it. And then Saul fell upon the sword himself. And when the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, then the armor bearer killed himself. this guy, this Amalekite, was likely with the Philistines and saw what was going on, saw what happened. You remember the Philistines whacked off Saul's head. Well, his crown would have wound up somebody's hands sitting over here to the side or something. This guy grabbed the crown, grabbed the bracelet, escaped, hightailed it out of there because he saw what was going on, and he took it to David. Now, could he have been a servant of the of someone on the Israelites? Sure, he could have been. Whatever it was, he saw what was happening right there. So this was verification that Saul was dead. What was David's response? Verse 11. Then David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and so also did all the men who were with him. So they tore their own clothes. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan and for the people of the Lord and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. So they were racked with grief. They were mourning. They realized what had happened and what had come of the house of Saul. Verse 13, David said to the young man who told him, "Where are you from?" And he answered, "I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite." Then David said to him, "How is it you are not afraid to stretch out your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" And David called one of the young men and said, "Go out, cut him down." So he struck him, and he died. And David said to him, "Your blood is on your head, for your mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have killed the Lord's anointed.'" Yeah, are we not vividly reminded of how David responded when he had an opportunity to kill the Lord's anointed? He said, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it." Even though David knew that he was already anointed king, even though he knew Saul was trying to kill him, he says, "I'm not going to do it." Remember that passage, he says he'll either die a natural death or he'll fall by the sword, or the Lord will deal with him somehow. But I'm not going to do it. And David held this guy accountable and said, "Literally, your blood is on your head, because you're the one that testified that you killed Saul." Now, what was the reality of it? He had not killed Saul. But what had he testified to? Yes, he had bragged over the fact that he had testified and testified that he had killed Saul. And here's his bracelet and here's his crown, and I lay it before you. In other words, now you're king. What are you going to do to reward me? Well, what he did to reward him was to lift his head from him. Yeah, he received his reward because he did not honor the anointed of the Lord. Boy, that's just seriously powerful stuff right here. It really is. Well, we'll press on to the story in the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.